Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindi ki jai, Namacharya Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Sri Radha Krishna, Gopinath Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhana ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Jamuna Devi ki, Jagna Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish ki jai, Shishi Radha Giridhari ki jai. All glories to the Assemble devotees. All glories to the Assemble devotees. All glories to the Assemble devotees. All glories to ISKCON San Diego ki jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Kinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bacharni Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarni. What is today's verse, sir? Eleventh canto, chapter 19.
Yes, text 9.
11, 19, 9. Thank you.
Om Namah
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Canto 11, Chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, Text Number 9. Tapa.
Tapa.
Trayin abhihitasya. Trayin abhihitasya.
Trayin abhihitasya.
Gore.
Gore.
So Dravida, how should I chant this line? All right. Tapa trayena bihitasya gore.
Tapa trayena bihitasya gore.
Santapya manasya bhavadvanisha.
Santapya manasya bhavadvanisha.
Pasyami nanyach charanam dhavangri.
Pasyami nanyach charanam dhavangri.
Dvandvata patrad amrita vifarshat.
Dvandvata patrad amrita vifarshat.
What is that meter called? Okay.
Indravadra.
Indravadra.
It's actually, it's in the Gita also.
Yeah.
Indrajayate meyate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tapa trayena bhihutasya gore.
Tapa trayena bhihutasya gore.
Santapya manasya bhavad vanisha.
Santapya manasya bhavad vanisha.
Pasyami nanyat charanam tavangri.
Pasyami nanyat charanam tavangri.
Dvandvata patrad amrita vivarshat. Tapa, by the miseries,
Trayena,
threefold,
abhihitasya,
of one overwhelmed,
gore,
which is terrible,
santapya
manasya, being tormented. Bhava, of material existence.
Adhvani,
in the path.
Isha,
O Lord.
Pashyami,
I see.
Na,
none.
Anyat,
other.
Sharanam,
shelter.
Tava,
your.
Angri,
lotus feet.
Dvandva,
of the two.
Atapatrat,
than the umbrella.
Amrita,
of nectar.
Abhivarshat,
the shower. Translation, please respond. My dear Lord,
for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death,
and is constantly overwhelmed
by the threefold miseries,
I do not see any possible shelter
other than your two lotus feet,
which are just like a refreshing umbrella,
that pours down showers
of delicious nectar.
My dear Lord, for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death
and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. Purport. Lord Krishna, recognizing Uddhava's highly intellectual nature, has repeatedly recommended to him that one should achieve perfection by cultivation of transcendental knowledge. But the Lord has also clearly demonstrated that such knowledge must bring one to the point of loving devotional service to him.
for otherwise it is useless. In this verse, Sri Uddhava corroborates Lord Krishna's statements that actual happiness is obtained by surrendering to his lotus feet. When the incarnation of Godhead Prithu Maharaj was crowned, the demigod Vayu presented him with an umbrella that constantly sprayed fine particles of water. The Lord's two lotus feet are similarly compared here to a wonderful umbrella that produces a constant shower of delicious nectar, the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Normally, speculative analytical knowledge terminates in an impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth. But the so-called bliss of merging into impersonal spiritual existence can never be compared to the bliss of Krishna consciousness, as stated here by Sri Uddhava. Krishna consciousness thus automatically constitutes perfect knowledge, since Lord Krishna is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. The words abhi hatasya and abhivarshat are significant in this verse. Abhihatasya indicates that one who is being defeated on all sides by the onslaught of material nature, whereas abhivarshat indicates a downpour of nectar that eliminates all of the problems of material existence. By our intelligence, we should look beyond the dull material body and nonsensical material mind to observe the unlimited shower of blissful nectar coming from the two lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then our real good fortune will begin. Srinadapi sunichena tarodiva sahishnuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari Hare nama vikivalam kalo nasdeva gatiram yata. So Uddhava is a very highly situated devotee. Correct me if I'm wrong, he's more advanced than the Pandavas. Yes. And who did Krishna send with his confidential letter to the gopis? He sent it with Uddhava. And at one point, Krishna asks for Uddhava's counsel and advice when the whole incident of the Rajasuya sacrifice, Jarasandha, Narada king, Krishna asked for Uddhava's advice. And here we see the final instructions before Krishna leaves this world given to Uddhava. And Uddhava requests that, I don't want to stay once you're gone. I want to go with you. Krishna says, no, I have some service for you. Somebody has to remain with this knowledge of pure devotional service. So the stature of someone like, and when the gopis saw Uddhava's chariot, they thought at first, oh, is this Akura again coming to cause us more grief? But then when they saw who it was, they were astounded. Oh, he looks just like Krishna. Who is that fortunate girl who has him for his wife, for her wife, his husband, or her husband? So, yes, for her husband. So Uddhava's position is very, very exalted. But yet, Krishna also had a plan for Uddhava that you should see how advanced are these residents of Vrindavan. Uddhava is not a resident of Vrindavan. So he wanted to show Uddhava, look at this devotion, and specifically to see how advanced are the gopis. And after 2 months of staying in Vrindavan, enlivening the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan, what was Uddhava's conclusion? Uddhava's conclusion is, I want to take birth somewhere around Vrindavan as a clump of grass or a bush, so that when the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, walk, I'll get the dust of their feet on my head. Very similar, almost exactly, but very similar to what Lord Brahma said after finishing his prayers to Krishna after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, when Brahma was bewildered by Krishna's unlimited mystic power. Brahma also had that conclusion. He also realized how fortunate are the residents of Vrindavan. And he also desired that birth. This verse today you can consider a prayer. Indeed, Dhruvita told me yesterday this is one verse that he has memorized. And the next one too. So these are prayers. Vandanam, one of the 9 processes of devotional service. Bhagavatam is full of prayers. So many different sections of prayers in this Bhagavatam. We are meant to be praying constantly, offering prayers. And Prabhupada told us, you don't have to make up a prayer. You just pray following in the footsteps of the advanced devotees, like Uddhava, like Bhishma, like Kunti. Prabhupada was very fond of Kunti's prayers. So many prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. For one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death. Anyone who cannot identify with this is crazy. Any sane person should be able to identify with this statement of Uddhava. Who isn't? Ask the people of Japan. How's it going? How do you feel? Huh?
I'm fine.
Yeah. At any moment, that nuclear situation could create a disaster for the whole planet. We're this close to catastrophe. We're this close. We're hanging on a thread. That song by Govinda Das, Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. That's not a joke. It is so true. Our existence, here we are in California. Something happens in Japan, it comes right down. It comes right down. So our existence is a tottering, teetering platform at any moment. And when I drove here yesterday, I said, oh my God, the ocean is so close. You get a tsunami here. Haribol.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, you have one too.
Right here.
All right. We're so close, right? Of course, being in the temple, it's fine. We'll float away with Radha Giridhari.
We have an escape plan for Radha Giridhari, to run for high ground if we get noticed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because it's quite a real problem.
Yeah, but the thing was, in Japan, they had the notice for the earthquake, but the tsunami notice was too quick.
Yeah.
They didn't have time. That was the report. They had, enough people had notice of the earthquake, but then, you know, Krishna said, oh, that's only one punch. I got a second one coming. Krishna doesn't fool around. So, when you come, you know, there's 4 kinds of people that come to Krishna consciousness. So, you know, you may think, oh, well, I came to Krishna consciousness because I was searching for the absolute truth. Yeah, really, okay. Generally, it's because we're out of extreme distress. It may be there. I mean, I was looking for the absolute truth, but I was suffering like anything. I was really miserable. So, Uddhava's statement here, for one who is, everyone is being tormented by the terrible path of birth and death, and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, right? If it's not your enemy, right, or if it's not some other living entity, some insect, some mosquito, some animal, if it's not some other living entity, your boss, causing you distress, like my wife's going through that right now. For the first time in her career, she has a boss that she can't stand. She won't even talk to him. You know, usually when you have a boss, you're friendly, hello, good morning. She won't even do that. The guy is such a... She hates the guy so much. And my wife, her nature is everybody likes her. Everybody likes her. She's very friendly and loving and warm. But this guy and her... And, you know, she's like, you know, past the salt. That's about as far as... How you doing today? Fine. Here's the work. Thank you. There's just nothing going on. So she's the whole day she's in suffering because she has to deal with this demon. All right? Then the elements, nature, right? Too cold, too hot. One day it's cold, next day it's hot. You constantly have to tolerate that. And then, if that's not enough, your own body and mind is tormenting us. And as you get older, then it starts to make itself manifest. If you enjoyed your senses unrestrictedly in your youth, then you pay for it in your old age. You pay for that sense gratification, that unrestricted sense gratification. You pay for it in old age. Can't sit like you are sitting right now for a long period of time. Or you lose your teeth, or you lose your eyes, or your hearing. The body starts to break down. It can't do what it used to do. You're young now, you're jumping up and down. But the day may come, if you're not careful, it'll be very difficult to jump up and down. So, the threefold miseries, I always like to joke. What's a bad day? When you got one, two, all threefold miseries attacking you at the same time. That's a bad hair day. Yeah. It's bad enough if one of them are giving you, then two, then three. That's when you don't want to talk to anybody. All three of them are beating you up. So therefore, Uddhava says, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet. Here is extreme intelligence. This is intelligence. I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet. This is someone who is fully surrendered. This is someone who is fully experienced. Uddhava is quite an experienced devotee, especially at this stage. Quite experienced. He has been through a lot. He has seen a lot. So this is his mature realization and experience. There's no other... That's what it means to be fully surrendered. What does Krishna say? Mam ekam. When Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam ekam. That means no other shelter other than Krishna. Sharanam, the word sharanam, surrender, can also be translated as shelter, which I use a lot in preaching because many people don't like this word. Surrender? No. We don't surrender. We're Americans. We don't surrender. So a lot of people don't like this word. So I say, okay, shelter. Take shelter of Krishna. If you don't like this word, you've got to hang up about surrender. All right, take shelter. And in this verse, umbrella. Yeah, when it's pouring rain, you take shelter of an umbrella. That's called intelligence. No, I want to be out there in the rain. Come on. Let me have it. I'm tough. No, intelligence means use an umbrella. So Uddhava exactly typifies what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Exclusive shelter, exclusive surrender. No other shelter, no other surrender. Complete. Then your two lotus feet. And the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's lotus feet. 10th canto, Krishna's smiling face. But you begin with the first and second cantos. Get free from material affinity. So Krishna's lotus feet are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. So Krishna consciousness, what does Lord Chaitanya say? Purnamrita swadhanam. They taste. You're looking for this. Everyone is looking for that. Everyone is looking for some ras. Everyone. Non-devotee, devotee, everyone is looking for some taste. This is explained by Prabhupada in the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, preface and introduction. Very, very important, this concept to understand. Everyone is looking for some kind of taste, right? Sex life, profit, fame, adoration, distinction. These are the things that are driving this material world. It's these drives, this thirst. I must satisfy my tastes for various things. Women, wealth, beauty, fame. Some people are driven by, I have to somehow or other stop old age, Botox this, and they'll spend millions of dollars just to keep the body as young and fit as possible. Everyone's working, driving hard to get some taste. But Lord Chaitanya says, here it is. The taste that everyone is looking for. It's right here in Krishna consciousness, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Maha Mantra. It's right there in Sankirtan. The taste for which the full nectar. Yes, the problem with materialistic life, the problem with sex life, the problem with any material sense gratification, it's limited and temporary. That's the problem. We're cheating ourselves. We think, let me indulge in sex. Let me indulge in intoxication. Let me indulge. All right, you do it. But at the end of the day, when it's all over, you're still not satisfied. And you're still thirsty. You still are looking. I'm not satisfied. Mick Jagger sang it, but he doesn't realize it. I can't get no satisfaction. Yes! In 65, you sang that. Here it is, 2011. You're still singing it. But you don't have the solution. Prabhupada had the solution. He came in 65. You sang that in the summer of 65. Prabhupada came in September. He heard your call. The Beatles at the same time were singing, help! Same summer. The Beatles were singing, help! Prabhupada said, yes, I'm here to help. But they don't get it. They don't take it. So don't be like them. Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna consciousness. That's the umbrella that's going to deliver you, save you. Purna Amrita, giving you a taste of the full nectar for which everyone is anxious. Yes, that's why we have to be compassionate. They're all anxious for what you got. You got it. You got what they don't got. A taste of the full nectar. So you have to give it to them. Just like Badri gave me a taste of the full nectar for which we are always anxious. Thank you, Badri. We can give them a taste of the full nectar by kirtan, sankirtan, book distribution, festivals, prasadam, 16 rounds magazine, and your programs, any Krishna conscious activity is meant to give full nectar for the fallen conditioned souls, which they are hankering for. So we are the greatest welfare workers in the world. We are. And don't get puffed up, but the fact of the matter is, we are the greatest welfare workers. So we can take pride in that. Don't let anyone tell you, like they used to tell us when we'd be out on the street chanting, "Oh, get a job." I have a job. I'm doing the best job. I'm doing the greatest job. I'm delivering mankind. So we should feel confident that what we are doing in this movement, there's nothing better we could be doing with our lives. That's another thing. To come to the conclusion, there's nothing better. When I was working a regular job as a bookkeeper for some 7 or 8 years, I was doing that. So I was thinking, okay, I finally got a job. You happy now? All these people. But all the while, I was thinking and scheming and planning, how can I preach? How can I preach? And whenever I got the opportunity, as soon as that door was open, I'd go through. One day, when I came out of work, Swabas was with his son. He was taking his son to the movies. And Swabas was online. And so I was right in, was in the middle of Westwood, hundreds of people. As soon as I saw Swabas, I paid my obeisances. I was so happy to see a devotee. So happy. I didn't care. Middle of the Westwood. Who cares what these people think? They're all nonsense anyway. All I knew was, here was my ecstasy. It was a devotee. I will pay my obeisances. I went down. Still remember that day. But I was always thinking, I want to preach. I want to do something. I want to distribute Krishna consciousness somehow or other. And then, thanks to Badri, yes, Badri was responsible. You okayed my being the life membership director and vice president of LA right after that.
It was a tough decision.
Well, thank you for being merciful. Because one day the boss called me in, just like that idiot, what's his name? Donald Trump. You're fired! I got fired. So I immediately called Swabas, and he said, well, let me see. And then I think you called me at the office. I was like, you know, I picked up the phone and it's Budgie Narayan's calling me.
And you didn't hang up? You were very kind.
No, you said you thought it was a good idea. I was like, I was practically crying. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That was great. So.
Now what year was that?
94. Is in November of 94. November of 94. And then I started in January of 95. Thank you, Badri.
Thank you for your nice service.
Nice. You're very kind. Anyway, so we are preaching. There's nothing better that we can be doing. Be proud of that. Be bold. Be humble. Be Krishna conscious. And like I always say, there's the book, Chant and Be Happy, whether you like it or not. Thank you very much. Yes, Badri Prabhu.
I have two questions.
Okay.
Take one or the other, whatever you want to do.
Well, one at a time. My brain doesn't process
but,
that.
But just
well.
As a preface, you were saying about you get a job, and you said, yeah, I've got a job, saving the best jobs. As a new bhakta, I was chanting downtown Los Angeles. People would take cups of coffee, hot coffee and styrofoam cups with a lid and throw it out the sixth-story window of Bullock's.
Oh, my God.
So you get hit with hot coffee, you know? We were right by a bus stop, so we were constantly in these noxious fumes. And we had a Christian marching band, trombones and everything, playing When the Saints Come Marching Home.
Yeah.
So picture the scene, right? And some businessman came up to Vishnujan and said, why don't you just go home? Vishnujan Maharaj said, I'm trying. Back home, back to God.
Yeah.
And but I do have a question. Just the other thing you were saying about the, you know, stand out in the rain, I'm tough, bring it on. Right up, because I know you like these stories, right up here in Laguna Mountains, up here in Julian, there was a, and my son sent me the article, there was a guy in a fishing boat, another man and a friend, drinking, you know, copious amounts of beer. He clouded over, began lightning, summer storm, you know. One of the guys stood up and said, "Take me, God, I'm ready." Whack! He was struck by a thunderbolt and dropped dead.
God finally answered his prayer.
he didn't answer the prayer about winning the lottery.
No.
He was waiting for the right prayer. But my questions are twofold. Okay, I'll ask you the first one. You know, you said about Japan, and first it was the earthquake, and then, you know, God had a second punch, the tsunami. So what kind of God is this? Innocent children, and, you know, tsunami, and, you know, come on, man.
First of all, nobody's innocent in this material world. That's the first mistake. There is no innocent. Everyone is guilty. As soon as you come to the material world, you're guilty. You're a criminal. Okay? That's the first misnomer. We're all guilty. There are no accidents. Everybody is getting what they deserve. I know it's a hard pill to swallow, but when you, at least my understanding, to me, one of the most important things is to stop blaming others, especially God, for my lot in life. I'm getting what I deserve. Stop blaming. Whatever is happening, I own it, and it's my fault. Now let me act in such a way that I'm not in this situation again. Number two, it's called wake-up call. That's all that's happening. It's a wake-up call from God. Hello, whatever you're doing, it's wrong. Okay? Stop this nonsense and get on the ball. And number three, it's a wake-up call for us. I've been preaching this ever since the Japan. Because right after the Japan, I went to Chile. And last year in Chile, we had the big earthquake. And, you know, we were seeing that, you know, everyone was worried, the tsunami effect. And we had a little bit here in California. And then we were watching, what's the tsunami effect in Chile? And when I was there, they did have two earthquakes. When I was there this time in Chile, right after Japan, but they were small. So the thing is, it's a wake-up call that, you know, this is happening in Japan, could happen to a theater right near you. So, you know, how much more do we need? And for us devotees, the wake-up call is, am I serious? Am I ready to die now? Am I ready? I'm not. So the wake-up call is, hello, get going. We think we have so much time. No, you don't. It's time to surrender completely and get fired up and be really serious about Krishna consciousness before it's too late. Okay?
Can I answer my other question?
Of course, you're the
my
boss.
Very good. Thank you, Prabhu. As it is. You know, you were talking about no one gets the full nectar. Whatever we're getting ultimately doesn't satisfy us, and we give it up or look for something else or look for more or whatever, right? And the real nectar is Krishna consciousness. And yet we find devotees immersed in Krishna consciousness leave Krishna consciousness. So isn't it the same thing?
No.
Ah.
The difference is
please.
You can lose your taste for Krishna consciousness by offenses. So, yes, we're getting the higher taste, but at any moment you can lose that taste. And when you lose your taste for Krishna consciousness, again you become mad after the lower taste because you've lost your higher taste. And that is due to offenses. And the worst offense is guru aparad. So you cannot commit offenses. Therefore, what does Lord Chaitanya urge us? Always around your neck for constant remembrance. Trinadapi sunichena tororivasa hishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And don't commit offenses to devotees, especially the spiritual master.
You commit offenses, you will lose that taste. Amen. Matatva Prabhu, you have anything to say? Is everything okay, what I said? Okay. Yes, Prabhu?
We're recording it. We're sending it out. Dandavats and
very
good. We'll hear about it soon.
All right. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you. You were saying that in the Bhagavatam there's so many prayers by different devotees given. Mm-hmm. When I read these prayers, I feel like every prayer, I mean, from my contaminated consciousness, I feel like every prayer is kind of like the same. And when I'm reading it, I have a tendency to just, I don't know, I guess see it as all the others and not that fresh or new. What's the problem here?
Problem is your capacity or your level has not reached a more mature stage. Okay? So you're on a testing level. You're on the threshold right now. All throughout your devotional career, you're going to reach a certain level. There'll be a test. When you pass that test, you're on the next level. Maybe when you were young, did you ever play Nintendo?
Yeah.
All right. Did you ever play, my daughter used to play it all day long.
Zelda.
Super Mario.
Yeah.
Okay. There were so many levels. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried it once. I can never get beyond level 1. My daughter would get to level 6, you know, and she'd be laughing at me. So there were certain techniques that got you to level 2. So Krishna consciousness, there are unlimited levels. Unlimited. Yeah. Okay? No offense. You're just starting. So right now, you see one thing. Okay. Don't freak out. Keep doing your service. Keep chanting. Before long, you will be on the next level, and it's like, oh, I didn't see that. For instance, when I first came, to me, Bhagavad Gita was the best thing to go to sleep. I take out Bhagavad Gita. Now, I loved Chaitanya Charitamrita. I had the book Lord Chaitanya in 5 Features, and I would have that with me all day long on the subways. And every time I was doing Sankirtan on the subways, I'd take out that Lord Chaitanya in 5 Features, and I would read that. I was like, oh, I love this book. And I'd be fired up to do another train and all day long. And of course, I was eating prasadam all day long too. But that book kept me going. 20 years later, all of a sudden, I couldn't stop reading Bhagavad Gita. But in the beginning years, I didn't even want to go to class. It was like, oh man, Bhagavad Gita. And some devotees would give class, and it was like very dry, and just like, oh man. But now, I got to read Bhagavad Gita I got to go through the whole Gita. Every year. It's like part of my oil change. So, don't worry. You're just starting. Now, I see you like to be with Dravida. You're doing the shlokas, right? Go with it. Go. Shlok yourself till you can't shlok no more. Because that is going to help you get to the next level. Okay? Don't be hard on yourself. You've got a long life ahead of you in Krishna consciousness. And trust me, there's level after level. Like, Dravida's on levels I'm not even going to achieve in this lifetime. Okay? Budri's on levels. It's going to take me several lifetimes. There's enough here. Just, as we say, go with the flow. Do you like prasadam? Do you like japa? Mm-hmm. Do you like preaching? Mm-hmm. Good. You're good to go. We'll talk in a year.
Thank you for giving this wonderful class. You were talking about how we lose taste for Krishna consciousness by committing offenses.
Mm-hmm.
But the first stage of Krishna consciousness is committing offenses. So
Yes, but now you're in the clearing stage. The stage you're at now, you're in the clearing stage. You're trying not to commit offenses. You're going to commit offenses, but it's not your intention. You're not knowingly or willfully committing offenses. So you're in the clearing stage. Are you following the orders of the temple authorities?
Trying to.
Okay, good. See, I like that answer. That was good. That shows you're humble. I like that. You're trying to. If you said, yes, I am, that would seem like you guys puffed up. But because you're trying, no, it's significant. It's significant. That's a good response. You're trying. I like that. That shows you're humble. Therefore, you're going to advance. And because of that, you're not committing offenses. So as long as you're trying, you're okay. But just don't knowingly or willfully commit offense. And try to be obedient. That's the hardest thing. Trying to be obedient. Okay? Then you'll be okay. All right? Yes, Javita.
I just wanted to, if you would allow me to just
comment. Who am I? Yeah, come on.
There's a lot of levels of this verse. I just wanted to share.
See, levels. See? A lot of levels to the verse. Go ahead.
The first thing is it starts out with tapa. So this is heat. It's threefold misery, but it's hot. So the idea here is that he talks about the atapatra, that the lotus feet are the umbrella, but it's not an umbrella. It's not protecting you from the rain. It's protecting you from the heat. That's what atapatra means. It's a big parasol, what we call it. And it's and the tapa, of course, are the threefold miseries, the burning misery. It fits in completely. And the other side here is that the amrita, the nectar, because it's produced on the moon. And one of the things that is described earlier in this canto is the level of the pure devotee, the highest devotee, the Mahabhagavat. He would not agree to forget the lotus feet of the Lord even for a split second, even for all the wealth in all the universes. And the next verse talks about how, because he's always meditating on the lotus feet, the threefold miseries can't bother him, because emanating from the lotus toenails is the moonshine that soothes the threefold misery, just like you get in a desert at nighttime, the sun comes up. So you have the two levels coming out with the amrita, the nectar, and the umbrella, the atapatra.
Very good. So that you proved my point. Thank you very much. Didn't I just say he's on levels that I'm not, so that he just proved it? This, you know, like I tell people, you know, I'm not competing with anybody. So many of my godbrothers are so far advanced than me. And it's like, so okay. I'm doing what I can. I'm just, you know, the turtle, you know, I'm in the turtle race. I'm going one step at a time. And, you know, at least I'm better off than I was yesterday. I'm definitely in a better space than I was in 1972. When I had a big beard like this and hair down to here, and I was smoking dope and having illicit sex and miserable. So at least I improved from there. So yeah, I'm not a pure devotee, but I'm one day closer. Hari Bol.
Also, Prabhupada quoted, slow and steady wins the race.
Jai.
And then one more point. Beatles were crying out help. One Beatle.
Yes, that's right. One beetle took to it, right. And when Prabhupada arrived, what was Dylan singing? How does it feel to be on your own? Prabhupada was on his own with Krishna. Yes. I'm still waiting for something from Mahatattva. Can he contribute anything? Even a chastisement would be good.
Psychologically, we'll see that in ourselves, and throughout history, we'll see that in the examples of great and small people, and also in great and small groups of people, that basic requirement for change is a
dissatisfaction with one's current position. And therefore, one who's not dissatisfied with material life will make no spiritual progress. And therefore, devotees who simply talk about flowers and honey, the people that they're attracting to Krishna consciousness have no impetus to leave the material world.
That's very good contribution.
Yeah. I saw a bumper sticker just yesterday. It said, if you're not paranoid, you haven't been paying attention. This world's really, it's not a very good place, you know.
Someone sent me an email about the people of Japan right now, and it was very interesting because during this whole tragedy, there's been no looting, no rioting, and people are helping each other, and people are only taking what they need, and they're not, you know, trying to hoard. Where if this was in America, we've already seen people in America go mad. They go crazy. They shoot each other. You remember there was that incident?
Well, the blackout in New York. It was a huge, it was riots and people stabbed on the streets.
92 in LA, the big riots there.
And during Katrina, some people were trying to, you know, get to another land, and the others were like, with shotguns, no, you can't come in. Their own.
So the purport to that is?
Their purport is another lesson. Another lesson that we could look at these people have some, there's some good qualities that this, you know, it just shows there's some kind of spiritual culture there. I mean, that's, to me, that's remarkable. No hoarding, no looting. You know, that you would think, hey, now's our time. Let's get our, you know. That would definitely happen in America. So it speaks highly of their, you know, of an aspect of their culture, which is...
In the earthquake in L.A., there was a policeman who I met up there in Los Angeles at the Sunday feast, and he said the ground was still shaking, and in some neighborhoods there were people putting bricks through the window of the Target. And the, you know, I mean, literally, when they felt the shaking, they didn't run for shelter. They thought, "Hey, I'm going to the Fry's and pick up some electronics."
Yes, yes. During the L.A. riots of 90, was it 92? Right near the temple was this big store, Fedco, and they cleaned the place out. Even the clothes on the mannequin, they stole. They stole that place clean,
like locusts.
Unbelievable. Welcome to America. Hari Bol. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please forgive my offenses. Vanchikalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyebhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo. San Diego Temple, Namo Namaha. It's still my favorite temple.
I forgot one other question.
Yes.
When are you coming back?
I will work it out with Ma Tattva. I plan to come every month if that's okay. But I work it out with the...
The boss.
I'm the boss.
Sure.
Yes.
Who will never fire you.
Jai. Unless...